And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and get the conversation started with friends, family, the person we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I was kind of sitting back thinking of ways on how we might justify the requirement of a vaccine, mandating it. Sure, we have the simple example of school kids needing their shots and boosters for going in. And we can say that they're little disease vectors, especially the younger they are. They're always getting dirty, getting sick, exploring their new immune system. And we don't want them getting things like mumps or rubella, basically German mumps, I guess. Measles, or is that German measles is rubella? Either way, things that, if not treated well and carefully at the onset, can be very deadly. Some of them can be deadly. Some of them can be scarring. Polio being an easy example. I mean, we can just go ahead and look at, again, Boardwalk Empire and how they talk about polio.
Her lungs are sound. Nerves to the heart and upper limbs seem unaffected, but the damage to her legs could be extensive.
Will she be crippled?
At this stage, it's impossible to say. I have seen children worse than her make a complete recovery.
Mr. Thompson is a man of means. If there's anything to be done...
I wish it were simple as money. There are things that are out of our control as much as I want to tell you otherwise.
So polio, huge deal back in the day. Luckily, a vaccine was found for that. A disease that affected kids, and if it got real bad, their ability to walk. So again, little bits of justification here and there for quality of life. And we look at smallpox as a highly transmissible disease. Back in the day, it had a 30% death rate. Now it is all but extinct, and so that's a good thing. Done some good things, but where else are we looking at vaccines? Well, again, if we look at old folks' homes and hospitals, always coming in contact with the people of the infirm, of the lower immune system functionality. And so in a roundabout way, we have to help care for other people. Got to watch out for them, get our flu shots. Make sure that we're not passing on the flu, at least build up our own defenses so that way we don't become contagious. We don't hit a viral load that exceeds that can become transmissible. That's the whole point of at least the flu shot. Help your body keep that viral load down. And I almost start to think it becomes justified on a grander scale, as dangerous as it may be, for at least the flight attendants on airplanes. Maybe air travel becomes a little bit more of a gray area, but for those flight attendants, it's not necessarily to protect other people, it'd be to protect them. Best practice, I guess, would be the best information. Not necessarily a mandate, but again, if that's to protect people from getting sick on their own, from being knocked out with a gnarly little cold or a flu, because they come in contact with so many people. Then I always, when flying, except for a handful of times for me, do I get sick. Now, is that the altitude, the radiation coming through the airplane walls, if that even happens? Is it all the different people that you come in contact with? Maybe flight attendants' immune systems are actually more robust because of the amount of chaos it sees on a regular occurrence. But another place I can see mandating, requiring a vaccine, I guess even simpler, is just traveling to Africa. Everybody knows when you travel to Africa that you need some extra vaccines. And just on this go to africawebsite.com, routine vaccinations that you should be up on is the flu, the MMR, polio, hepatitis A and B, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. Should be up on all of those, no matter where you're going within Africa. And that's probably for the better. They don't have as much modern medicine up there, or down there, over there, as we do here in the States. It's not to say they don't have good hospitals available to them. But you should be in your best health. Go into the jungle, man. It's wild out there. But a couple other things that you need to expect to get are your yellow fever vaccination and your malaria vaccinations. Don't want to get any extra sickness, and I'm sure if you're going down some fancy river cruise, you might want to get a handful of other things. Multivitamins, you're supposed to bring those with you. Handful of other antivirals, and then whatever prescription drugs that you're bringing, because obviously, again, you can't just go down to the local pharmacy and re-up on whatever you need. And it's mostly to protect you, but there's also no sense in bringing extra disease with you to other populations. I mean, us here in the United States can easily look back at the smallpox blankets. Places and people that regularly deal with illnesses, communicable diseases, bacterial or viral, build up immune systems, build up defenses, so that way when the time comes, it doesn't completely wipe out a population. It can still have an effect, but still be able to hold off on some of it. But on this Go To Africa page, they also say that if you show any signs of even the slightest cold, a little sniffle, they won't let you near the gorillas, because apparently the common cold for humans is bad for gorillas. I wonder if there were gorillas in the world, the War of the Worlds movie. But from interstate travel on a plane, I guess starting a little bit further back into schools and hospitals and nursing homes, both those spectrums of being able to handle illnesses due to their immune systems, either freshly budding or waning out, there's some justification. Air travel, interstate, due to the amount of people you come in contact with, got to be protected. And when we go intercontinental, and especially into the jungle, it becomes a little bit more needed. That's more for your personal health protection. One justification for international travel. I mean, today's world is definitely a lot more interconnected than it used to be. A lot more people flying back and forth on a daily or weekly basis. Even with the shutdowns, people still need to make business trips. People still make tourism trips. And if we have some sort of highly communicable disease that needs to be contained, quelled, to either quarantine or mitigation factors, because we're not just protecting ourselves now, we're protecting a global population. And I can see almost a justification for space travel, interplanetary travel. I'm not talking about the tourism trips that have been going on with the big three, SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Virgin. I'm talking about the times where we will actually go and visit the moon, or go visit Mars, or go on an intergalactic space cruise. You think about the clean rooms for when they're assembling all the space stuff that goes up into space. Mostly for the static electricity and the extra dust. You want to make sure it stays clean. But part of their argument also is they don't want to bring anything that's on the planet Earth outside the planet Earth, because we don't know what the immunities are outside the Earth. Again, look back to the smallpox blankets. While that was done maliciously, we would hate to do something accidentally. But I can't think of many more reasons to mandate, unless again we're looking at a smallpox situation where 30% are dying. But that becomes also a personal visual cue when you start seeing friends and family members dying left and right. I think there would be the justification to come forward and volunteer, weighing your options on whether or not to get that smallpox vaccine. and 30% chance to die from the disease, or what kind of effects might there be for or from this vaccine? That becomes a benefit and risk weight ratio, trying to determine which side of that aisle we fall onto. If we had, well, we have food safety rules that you're supposed to wash your hands and wear gloves in certain situations, so that way you don't contaminate your hands, like working with car oil. Wear gloves when doing that, because I don't feel like getting that into my skin. It's a little bit hard to wash out. But if I'm just changing an air filter, I don't need a set of gloves. But we've got those similar situations for food. Sorry, I've never worked in the food industry to illustrate a little bit better. But we have these mitigation factors because we don't want to, I don't want to put oil all over the steering wheel. I got to take my gloves off as a mitigation, as a way to prevent it from spreading. A useful means of preventing it, as long as we take the proper precautions. But where do we need one for the majority of people? Again, we have highly communicable disease, something we should be aware and concerned about. Again, people that work within the office buildings or within poor ventilated areas, there might be a concern. We haven't been too informed on specifically how well it jumps or how it jumps so easily. And maybe that's my fault. I haven't done enough of my own research. But precautions for ourselves, our individual selves, seem to come in most on this one, with over a 99% survival rate for the vast majority of individuals. And we have employers pushing and pushing, trying to push us. We've got governments pushing us, just on the government side. And what about those pesky businesses that refuse to mandate the rest of their employees? Federal government can't do much. The state can have its leeway, its weight to push around. But what about when not the person in charge, but another legislative body or sub-legislative body comes in and starts making rules?
Well, so LNI is effectively passing a new WAC, a Washington Advisory Code. So the Department of Labor and Industries has the ability to make rules within the confines of the law. But now we've got this interesting scenario where the rule of law is not really running the day, because we're under Governor Inslee's emergency proclamations, and those are usurping law. So under some contrived state of being with regard to the governor's previous proclamations, they are coming through and making an emergency advisory code that effectively is going to, and it's backed by one of the governor's previous proclamations, in their words, I guess. And they're basically going to extend the governor's mandate to all private businesses. And basically, LNI is going to become the governor's thug agency in trying to enforce this on every mom-and-pop store in the state.
So LNI has been used as a weapon earlier on in this situation, when we still knew very little. People were facing $10,000 a day fines for just opening up their businesses during the mandatory shutdown, while government employees got to continue working at their construction jobs and office jobs. And now with this situation, the legislature is the one who's supposed to write laws. LNI can come in and offer its opinions and best guidance, but it's the legislature that has to write the laws. But the legislature's not active here in Washington State right now. We are in a state of emergency since April, May, February, March, sometime 2020. Too long. And the state of emergency has been renewed and renewed. So we haven't had an actual legislature being able to write laws and rules into our revised code. So Jay Inslee has been making all the rules. And since he can't necessarily write a new rule, he went through his buddy corporation, but it's not a corporation, buddy department, in an attempt to write a new rule to force all businesses to come in, say that they're required to check for vaccine passports and all this other stuff and make sure everybody has their papers. I don't find that to be honest. Why do we need the vaccine mandate when 80% of King County, at the very least, is vaccinated? A very large population, more than two-thirds here in Washington State are vaccinated. And fine, that's an average, and you got some high spots and your low spots, but that becomes an individual selection process. If the vaccine guaranteed prevented transmission, there might be a case, but if the vaccinated can transmit, what's the point? I don't see the point. If it's to best protect yourself, that should be on the individual, on what kind of protection you choose. When riding a motorcycle, you can wear a skull cap or you can wear a full face shield. Depends on how many bugs you feel like eating. And in some states, you have the option to not wear a helmet at all. It's a personal level of risk assessment. Some people like parachuting. That's a personal level of risk assessment. Should those people be vaccinated as well, just in case their parachute doesn't open? That might be absurd. But we need to check on everybody. We need to make sure everybody's following the rules. And we're going to do it the hardest and most sneaky way possible. That LNI situation is currently on hold. The Republicans have some sort of injunction put in. The Republicans out here in Washington don't do much. I wouldn't expect them to do much regardless. They're kind of what they do. But because Washington State is run by a supermajority in the legislature, kind of becomes a little bit more difficult for the Republicans to do anything when they have less than a third of the seats in the House. And Democrats control every other branch. And none of their Democrat constituents seem to really want to speak up. Worried about the fallout. Cancel culture is strong out here. And it is a shame. And it's not that I'm out there attempting to participate in society. Not this one, at least. King County is enforcing vaccine passports. Make sure you have your papers if you want to go to a bar or a restaurant or a gym or a movie theater. Gotta make sure you can't spread this vicious disease that take out the entire population. It's spreading like wildfire. But I had an idea. If I were to go out and attempt to mingle with this population, I'd have to be okay. Obviously, I'm okay with it. Being turned down, turned away. Because when you're asked for your papers, when you're asked for your identification, that you are a-okay to mingle with polite society, you've gotten all your required injections, you have to show them proof that you are up to date. Be that pulling out a paper card stock with some letters and numbers written on it with your name and a date saying when you went to the doctor. And I won't blame anybody. Do not blame anybody for going out and protecting themselves. Do not blame anybody for going off and getting the vaccine. You did what was right, best for you. But I don't need a business checking that information. When do we start asking individuals for their hepatitis status? When you go to a bar, do we have to pre-screen at the door for STDs? Because we don't want any of those people mingling with our regular consumers. But when asked for my papers, I won't have a card stock, but I'll be able to pull out my phone and share with them a digital version, a digital representation of my vaccination status, so that way I can come in and co-mingle with polite society. But it won't look like a vaccine card. It won't have dates and serial numbers of whatever batch lot that I was injected with. No. It'll be just a simple image, simple text image. Maybe I'll get some fancy font. Maybe I will get a picture of the vaccine card and put red letters over the top of it. So that way, whenever someone asks me for my papers, I bring it up on my phone and I will show them, and they will read in very clear print on my phone that I do not obey tyrants. I will have something along those lines written on that digital piece of paper. And if they can agree with that message, I do not obey tyrants, and they'll let me go along and they'll say, yes, we checked his papers, and they pass as a means within the greater company. The business that doesn't want to be the police force for Jay Inslee or Joe Biden or whoever's pushing the passports nowadays. They can say they checked And they can let you go forward and go through and continue on with the business. And you can participate, give their company money so that they can survive and continue on. Or if they have a problem with your messaging where it's not picture perfect. And I guess there's justification for the picture perfect. You might be one of those undercover feds, those people from L&I out there to give you your business a $10,000 fine and you can't risk it. Well, then so be it on that one. I sympathize, but I won't be shopping there. But for those that sit there and go, this is a forgery, I will say it is not a forgery. It is merely a statement that I do not respect or obey tyrants. People that think they know 110% better than me, who can't show me actual figures and data, PCR cycle counts for how they arrived at all of their numbers, all sorts of other little shenanigans. It's not a team game anymore here. It's a one-person take-all. We only have a governor ruling by mandate and diktat. We don't have a legislature. And as soon as the legislature comes back, maybe, we have a means to have a conversation amongst how things should unfold. Maybe we should actually have vaccine passports, but the legislature didn't pass it. L&I having to be sneaky, making very little noise until they were caught at the last second to try and pass these rules. But I won't entertain that conversation while under the order and direction of one sole individual. And when we have a 30% death rate, you won't need a mandate. You'll still have some holdouts and they can take their gamble with life. But we can do this. We can push along. Again, some of us have chosen not to participate in your society because you have chosen not to push back enough. And maybe pushback will actually begin. Feel free to take that vaccine passport idea. Pass it along if you agree with it. If you disagree with it and you think that I'm out there flouting the law, make sure you tell all your friends that people will be out there telling you that they do not respect tyrants. And again, the only way we get through this is with more conversation, not with less. Understanding where we all come from on this grand scheme of things. There might, again, be a justification to passports, but maybe there's not. But if you have anything to say to me, you just holler out Billy Bones, because that's me. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. You get there, you send me short quips and statements, questions or comments. We can get our own little conversation started. But if short communication or social media is not for you, you're in luck. I've got a website too, billybones.com. Again, spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. There's a link to Discord. There's a link to email me. And that way you can send your longer diatribes in. Let me know exactly how you feel. Again, disagree. And also on the website, there's links to past episodes. There's links to show notes. There's a handful in here for today's episode. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this podcast, be it the solo episode or the entire catalog, fantastic. I'm glad it was worth your time. The first thing that I ask you to do is that you give the show a share. Maybe someone else finds something worthwhile to talk for or against from the arguments that I've set forth upon us. But if you think that my time and effort were worth a monetary value that you took out of your day, be that a cup of coffee, 12-pack of beer, new car, new house, maybe an island in the Pacific somewhere, you're more than welcome to go to billybones.com. You scroll all the way down to the bottom and there's a value for value button. You click that button, it'll take you to PayPal. And there you can chip in, you can donate, you can support the show in whatever monetary amount you feel that it was worth. And again, be that for one show or the entire catalog. But thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.